Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello, Centerpoint. It is so great being with you today on this broadcast Sunday. And I got to say, I am so excited to start our CP clubs. You just saw that video a moment ago. I'm excited for us just to have a lot of fun together as a church community. And I wanted to make sure you didn't miss this. That was Pastor Frankie stuffing Pastor Joel at the very end there in basketball. So I wanted to make sure that you knew what in fact was going on there. But I'm so glad to be able to speak to all of our campuses today as we are continuing in our series, I Want to Be Faithful. And here's the big idea behind the series, especially if you missed last week. So much of what we are spending our time and our energy in the focal point of our life is things that are actually fleeting. We're talking about fame is kind of setting this up and how so many people today want to be influencers and they're living their life for fame, but that's just kind of a big picture of so many other things that we can be pouring our lives into that we think are so meaningful, only to realize at the end of the day that it's meaningless. That the most important thing that we can be doing with our life is ultimately to be faithful to God, faithful to the Word of God, and through that, faithful to the way that we live for one another. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk about how are you spiritually building your life? Let me ask you, are you good at building things? Are you good at building things? Like, you're just one of those people who naturally can see a problem with something physically and figure out how to fix it, how to put it together, how to build it. There are people that are excellent at building homes. You literally have stories of people that would build their log cabin, right? They know every board in their house. They put in the electrical and the piping, and they're able to do all of that. Or someone that can rebuild a car engine. They can take it apart and fix it and put it back together and put it in their Corvette. I have so much respect for people that have that ability to build things. I am not one of those people. I mean, I am not at all. I don't mind if I give up my man card on this. I will let my wife build things. IKEA furniture, I've given up. I have never once built an IKEA piece of furniture without having to disassemble it because I did something backwards. I'm pretty convinced a demon is the one making those manuals because there is no way that you can actually do that and get to the final product correctly. It's challenging, and I'm not one. I've never changed my own oil, for example. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm pretty sure it's in the trunk somewhere, but I wouldn't even know how to do that. That's just not my skill set. Yet, even if we're not building something physical, we're all people that are building things of sorts because we're all building something in our life. Again, it doesn't have to be physical. Maybe you're building your family, right? You're building the dynamic of your family and what that looks like and your goals and all that comes in with being a family. Maybe you're building the community of people around you. You're building a life group. Or maybe you're building a business or something else out there. Maybe right now you are building a new CP club from scratch. Congratulations if you are. But if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you better believe that you are in fact building a spiritual life. And to understand this, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have the ability, if your room isn't too dark, I'd love for you to turn there in your Bibles or turn on your devices and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here Paul is talking about church leaders in chapter 3. And he's challenging the church for putting too much emphasis on their pastor, on their leaders, and putting too much pride and arrogance around the leaders that they follow, and little subsects within the church of Corinth, and that they're better than other groups for who's leading them. And there's all this division and debate. There's all this unnecessary pride that is being pulled into it. And the point is the church is being divided over this issue. And now the Apostle Paul is writing to the church leaders in chapter 3, and he's specifically calling them out on their attitude and what they are building and why they are building it. And then Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. I want to read through it once, and then we'll break it down through the rest of our time together. And he says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Now, what I find so interesting here is Paul is giving this warning against specifically to church leaders. But I believe that the advice he's giving to them is advice that we all can certainly apply to our lives as well. And I don't want you to miss this. He's warning leaders to examine what is the ministry that they are building. What is it that they're building in the church? That's really the big focal point of what he is saying there. And I would say to pastors, what are we building? For me, for our campus pastors, for anyone that is in ministry in any level, maybe you're in Young Life or one of the other many ministries that are connected to our church, there is a direct challenge here for those that are in church leadership to ask yourself before God, what is it that you're actually building? And this is a tangent. I don't want to spend much time here because this isn't where the average CenterPoint person is right now in their life, even though I would say life group leader, you should ask similar questions. Worship leaders, kids leaders, you should ask yourself this too. But Paul is going into the point of saying, hey, what is it that you're really building within the bride of Christ, within the church? What are you really focused on? What is the motive behind what you are doing? You know, there's right now so many different documentaries out on church leaders who have fallen. I'm not going to go into them. I don't want to give any more credence to them or promote them. There's a lot. And there's some validity of what is being shown and said out there. And they are exposing some of the realities of what some church leaders have been building. That some church leaders have been building more of a platform for themselves to be famous in essence, as opposed to making sure the focus is on Christ. How often our own flesh and our own desires and our own pride and our own arrogance ends up getting in the way of simply presenting the gospel. And for me as a pastor, as I read through a section like this, I need to ask myself as the lead pastor of CenterPoint, what are we building this church on? And it's certainly not that we are perfect because we are far from it, but as I read this, it's a challenge for me to always examine the ministry of our church to say, are we building what God wants us to build, or are we building something that is now gone awry, something in our flesh, something in our pride? Because that is what he's challenging the church of Corinth to. Now again, that's another message. I want to bring this back to where all of us in the seats today or watching online can find significance and to relate to it. But there is just something there that as a church we need to be challenged by. And I see Paul, though, really saying that there's three different areas, three things that we need to look at the people of God to make sure that we are building our lives faithfully to God. Three things that I want us to understand today and that I think is applicable to every life that is at CenterPoint today. And here's the first one. We need to ask ourselves, what is my foundation? What is my foundation? You see, nothing else matters if the foundation isn't right. Nothing else about the building is going to matter if the foundation is not laid properly. This reminds me of a crazy story that came out in May of 2020. You may remember May of 2020, there were very few conversations outside of COVID, so a lot of things that were happening kind of just got pushed under the carpet at that point. But May 2020, a story came out about a guy who woke up in the morning, went out of his house, and there was a giant sinkhole that was in front of his yard into the street in front of him. A giant sinkhole that was there. And this sinkhole was crazy. I mean, that's not a small sinkhole, right? That's not like a little pothole in the road. This thing was big and it was deep, and it got worse over a couple of days. Because it was in COVID, it took a little while for the town to finally show up. And when they did, they actually had to go into the sinkhole to discover what it was. And lo and behold, once they did, they realized that they were actually exploring an abandoned mine. Look at the size of this mine. This is crazy. This is under the house. And it's not just under one house, it was under multiple homes in this brand new development. I actually think there's still a legal battle going on between the developer and the county because they sold him the land knowing that there was an old mine that was underneath this development. And as a result of that, now, of course, it's uninhabitable. No one can live in any of these homes. Because the foundation is not sturdy. The foundation is not set. At any point, it could collapse. And if the foundation is wrong, everything can come crashing down. And so Paul reminds them of this. Look at verse 10 and 11 again. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." A quick history lesson. The Apostle Paul was the planter, the one who was first in Corinth, bringing the gospel, introducing people to Jesus, brought the first people to Christ there in Corinth, and he started this church. But as Paul would often do, he would stay for a church for a period of time, and then he would move on his missionary journey to the next city because he was really the first one bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he would leave other leaders behind, either some that would come from Jerusalem or some that he would have raised up himself, and he would have continued as this missionary to let people know about Jesus. And so when he says that he laid the foundation, he literally laid the foundation for the church. He was the one who gave all the original instruction on what it was to be a follower of Jesus. And now other leaders, internal and external of the church, have come in, and they're starting to build on this foundation that the Apostle Paul had laid as he presented the gospel. And that is why he says, "I was the wise builder." You see, the wise builder is always the builder that points back to Jesus. The wise builder is the one who understands the gospel and that we can't get sidetracked from the good news of Jesus. And he made it all about Jesus, and he introduced Jesus to them. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the reality that we have our sin forgiven because of the sacrifice of Christ, that is this foundation that he is talking about. He's like, "I built this here in Corinth." And then there are other leaders who've come and helped disciple and helped speak into your life and helped you to grow as a follower of Christ. And friends, I want you to know that as you build your lives, as I build my life, we must understand what Paul is saying here, that the gospel must be the truth that everything else is built on. Amen? That it is the truth, that it has to be the foundation, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, influences every other aspect of your life. We cannot flip the order of this. We can't mix in other things in the concrete here, that the gospel is the foundation. It is the concrete that everything else in our life has to be built upon. This means that Jesus is the starting place of your ethics, that the gospel is the starting place of the purpose of your life, that Jesus is the starting place for how you perceive family and marriage and build upon that. That Jesus is the foundation of your vocation. That everything in your life that you might want to try to separate from Christ can't be separated. It all comes back to every aspect of your life comes back to being built on this foundation of Jesus. Everything. There's no treehouse over here. There's no shed over there that you're like, "I'm going to keep that a little separate, a little different." No, everything in our life, when you're truly a follower of Christ, must come back to the Word of God and must come back to the gospel, because the good news of Jesus influences everything in our life. There's nothing apart from it. There's nothing detached from it. And everything about you must be laid on this good, strong foundation. And so as you're thinking about your life and what you're putting your energy into and the motivation behind what you do and why you do it, you need to make sure that it then aligns with this foundation of Jesus. And by the way, to help you understand that, that's why we do so much of the different things past Sunday that we do at Centerpoint. It's why we have our life groups. It's why we have our Equip School of Ministry. It's why we help people with one-on-one discipleship. We use a tool called the Purple Book to help people grow in this foundation, in this understanding of what it is to let Jesus be the foundation of our life. Because if your foundation is anything else other than Jesus, it's wrong. It's wrong. It can't be. If your foundation is fame, it's wrong. It's off. If your foundation is money, if that's the basic premise of your life, it's wrong. If your foundation is pleasure, it's wrong. If it's anything other than Jesus, it is a gigantic sinkhole in your soul. It's just waiting to consume whatever you build upon it. Friends, I got to tell you, the longer I'm a Christian, the more of my own life and life experience that I go through, and having kids and having now teenage kids and being married 20 years and having relationships outside of the church and motivations and looking at retirement and looking at life as a whole, I got to tell you, the longer I do this, the more I see the truth and the power and the security of knowing that when you build everything on Jesus, you build with such a level of understanding and freedom and faith and confidence that can only come from saying it's all because it all comes back to Jesus for me. So much of the fear that people are living in their life is because they're building on other foundations. Fear of rejection, fear of financial failure, fear of the career not going the way that you want, fear of relational discord. I'm not saying those things can't happen. I'm not saying there can't be a natural reaction to that emotionally, but when you're truly building your life on something you are so secure in and you know so confidently that this is Jesus and I'm living my life in the way that Jesus has called for me to live on, you live with a confidence. You're stomping on the ground. You're like, look how secure this is. I see why they're worried. I understand why they're worried, because they don't have the same kind of security that I do as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because my life is built on him. Everything else is a sinkhole. Everything else will fall apart, but not when your life is built on him. Amen, church. And this is the heart of this series. What are you really building your life on? What is your true priorities? How are you scoring your life? And what is success? And what is meaningful? And what means that you've gone in the right direction? It needs to be faithfulness to Jesus. This brings me to the second question I think Paul is getting at. The second thing is, what am I forming? Or what am I actually creating or building? Look on to verse 12. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. And here Paul's giving us six building materials, three that are costly and three that are common. I don't believe he's trying to get into any specifics on why gold, costly stones. I don't think he has an analogy, right, for each one. I think he's just kind of painting a big picture here of this reality that some of these things are costly and valuable and others are common and ordinary. And he's clearly saying that you get to choose what you get to build with. You get the choice. Like, it's all right there in front of you. You get to choose. Are you going to use these three, or are you going to use these three? And of course, if you had the choice, if it's right in front of you, you're probably going to choose the things of greater value, the things that are more significant. Because at some point, he's saying, everyone is going to see what you actually have built. It's going to become obvious to everyone eventually when it comes to light. When I was in eighth grade, I was in the Boy Scouts, as I've shared. My dad was a professional Boy Scout. He did that vocationally. So I was in Boy Scouts for a good portion of my life. And I had some great experiences in Boy Scouts, just some really fun events and activities. I once did like a five-day canoeing trip, and you would camp as you would go down the river, and mountain climbing and spelunking, and just a whole bunch of cool experiences in Boy Scouts. But one of my favorite was we did a three-day, two-night wilderness survival. And they gave you just the bare minimum supplies. And we were in middle school, and they're like, go in the woods by yourself and live. Now, again, my memory is pretty bad. I'm sure there was more adult supervision than I recall, but I don't remember seeing anyone for 2 days. I don't remember having a radio. I don't remember people checking in. This would have been the very late 80s, early 90s. They did things different back then. They threw me out of a helicopter. No, they didn't do that, but we ended up in this thing. And so for a couple days, and the very first thing they said to do is you need to build your shelter. And all they did was they gave you a poncho. And so it was a little later in the day. The sun was already starting to set. And I started to build, like one of these wilderness survival shows, my first shelter. And I remember working on it all night. I dug the hole a little bit. And I put the wood in certain places. Made some simple kind of A-frame design. Put all the sticks on the sides. I put my poncho over the top in case it rained. And I went in to sleep in my shed, my hut, my home, my fortress that night. And I remember going to bed thinking, man, this is probably the coolest thing anyone has ever made in their life. I was so proud of it. It was dark by the time I was done. Morning came, and I woke up. Sun had started to rise, and I went out to look at my beautiful fort, and it was a piece of garbage. This thing was so embarrassing. It just looked like four sticks and a poncho on top. Zillow wasn't listing it. I didn't have realtors saying, who wants to move in next? Like, who wants this beautiful place in the woods, right? No Airbnb in this thing. It was really in bad shape. And the thing is Paul's saying, listen, at some point, and I believe what he's referring here to is the judgment of Christ and what will be. But he's saying at some point, everyone's going to see what you had built with your life, what you actually made, what your life actually stands for. And he's using this metaphor of this house that you could build and the material that you could use. And you read that, and I have to wonder, I wonder what our spiritual homes actually would look like. Like right now, if Zillow did have to come in, a spiritual Zillow, and they were going to look at your home and they were going to give you an estimate. This is what your spiritual home looks like right now, the Zillow spiritual estimate. I wonder what the value would be. I wonder what the significance of what our life has looked like in our faithfulness to the glory of God, what that would come down to. Because eventually it is going to be seen, friends. Is it magnificent? Or is it a tarp with a couple of sticks? And it's wild to think that we can spend our entire lives working towards our physical dream home, sacrificing everything for the sake of it. This week I was out in front of my yard picking the weeds for 6 hours with my fingers out of the front yard to try to make my front yard look nice. Think about all the time and energy we invest into our homes, how important they are to us, how so much of our identity is wrapped up in that. Yet we can do all of that for this physical home. I wonder if we are really realizing how much our life is affecting our eternal home. How much our faithfulness to God is coming down to something far more significant and important than a physical location that we have for this short period of time that we are alive. Are we sacrificing being faithful to God, to this eternal reality, or are we just creating a shack when it comes to our soul? You see, I think a lot of Christians get this foundation part of our faith. I think if you've been coming to Centerpoint for 6 months or more, like you get the fact that Jesus has died for our sin. I think that you would get the fact that if you sincerely in faith prayed, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, that you understand that your sin is now forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ and that you are made new in Jesus and your sin no longer defines you. I think we collectively as the church, we get that foundation, but I sometimes wonder if we don't get past the foundation. I sometimes wonder if we think, okay, I have got myself now, I have a relationship with God, and I'm going to be with him for eternity, so I'm good. Like we think we've kind of tapped out, we're good, we've gotten to that final point, the foundation is laid. I really don't have to worry about too much beyond that. I'll just do some good things here and there, I'll say some prayers now, I'll be a somewhat good Christian, and we think we're set. And of course, the foundation is key. You can't build without the foundation. But what is the point of the foundation if you don't plan to build on it? What would a builder do? They bought some Long Island land, right? They're going to flip a house. They just bought a house for $500,000. It's happening in my neighborhood. But they're going to knock it down. They're going to put a new foundation down. And now they're going to build a home, and they're going to try to sell it for $1.6 million, right? But what developer would come in, lay the foundation, and be like, that's good, I'm going to sell it as is. Got the foundation, we're set. I don't need to do anything else. I'll just make sure the grass is green. It's got perfect curb appeal, right? No, of course not. They would look at that and say, no, I need to build something on this, something big and something beautiful and something that's going to draw people to it. Of course they would build on the foundation. Yet I find that often as Christians, we have our foundation of our faith, and then we simply say, okay, it's good, I'm fine, I'm satisfied with that. That is foolish. It's crazy. No one would ever do that. You're going to look at that and you say, I need something now to build on this that matches the foundation, that matches the blueprint, something that is going to be awe-inspiring and beautiful. And Paul's saying, you have that chance when it comes to the reality of your life. And what you build is not just for now, it is what is eternal. Which brings us to the final thing I think Paul helps us to see, to ask yourself, what is my future? What is my future? Look at verse 13 to 15. He says, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only is one escaping through the flames. Clearly, Paul's not saying that's the best option right there. He's not saying that's the goal, right? But he concludes by going for the jugular. He goes back to this idea of eternity. He says that, listen, some of you in Corinth are going to get by simply by the skin of your teeth. Like, yeah, you made it in, but there is nothing to be proud about in this. He's saying this isn't a salvation issue. This is a faithfulness issue. That there's a lot of Christians who are saved from their sin, but you have nothing to show from the life God has given you. There's not been the faithfulness of who you are, and you're not building properly on him, and you're living your life still more like the world than you are like a follower of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking a lot about this point through this week. I'm wondering, why don't we take that more seriously as followers of Jesus? Why don't we take that reality more seriously? When we talk about treasure in heaven and the reality of eternity and the reality that what we do in this time on earth prepares us for what is eternal, why do we kind of blow that off and we're just like, okay, I have the foundation, I am good? Because if we did, I think all of us would live radically different than we do right now. I know I would live differently. And here's what I think. I think most people are simply gambling with eternity. They're gambling theologically with this. We're secretly hoping that we have the equation wrong. We're secretly hoping that maybe God looks at my life and sees a lot more good than there actually is, a lot more faithfulness than there actually is. Maybe we're thinking that our eternity is going to be far better than we expected that we deserved. You know, like sometimes you just get surprised by something. You went to a one-star hotel and it was great. Like, hopefully heaven's going to be like that. You know, I have a one-star home right now, but maybe I'll bet they'll be like, man, this wasn't so bad. It was worth living my life so-so for Christ while I was alive. And we're gambling that this reality of this eternity and the fact that our life now affects what that looks like for us isn't true. Or maybe it's that we care too much right now about our immediate pleasure and desires. And we're like, man, I'm just going to live selfishly. Or maybe you're saying, I'll just make the best of what is yet to come. Or maybe you're even thinking, maybe God will change his mind. He'd be like, you know what? I really like you, Brian. I'm going to give you a free upgrade. You know, like, you're funny. And I like funny people. And so when you walk through the doors, I'm like, oh, Brian. You know, there's your shack that your life deserves, but I'm going to give you the mansion. Because remember that time you said that joke? You're in. Whatever it is, I don't know why, but I think as Christians, we blow off this reality that Jesus talked about when he talked about treasure in heaven, that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that the faithfulness of our life impacts all of eternity. And here's my challenge. We don't do things for a reward. And I don't know what this reward actually looks like. I think Scripture is giving us some descriptive terms that we understand. We understand value and treasure and costly stones. Like, we understand that value. I don't think that's how it perfectly is going to translate for eternity. It's just showing that there is a value for what is yet to come from what happens now. I love this simple line from R.C. Sproul. He says, right now counts forever. Short and sweet. Right now counts forever. That how you're living your life right now is a deposit for what is yet to come as we enter eternity. That's mind-blowing to me because we don't think that way. We simply think, okay, after today is tomorrow, after tomorrow is the day after that, I'm just going to keep on living, not thinking about what is yet to come. And I guess as your pastor, I just need to know that before God, I've let you know about this reality, that your faithfulness here and now through your life is going to have a great impact on what the rest of eternity is going to look like. That you can't say, you know, Pastor Brian never told me. I thought I could just lay the foundation of salvation and live my life and that was it, that I'm good. Because Scripture clearly tells us that is not the case. And just as a baby spends 9 months in the womb preparing for the rest of its life, our time in this life is preparing us for what is next. It's all tied together. And so you can seek all these things of the world. You can seek fame and fortune and all the things that the world says, listen, this is so important, and you can have a blast doing it and have a great life and have the biggest house imaginable and drive the best cars. But hear me, church. If your life isn't being faithful to God, and I'm not saying if you have wealth, that means you've been unfaithful. I'm not saying that at all. But if your life has not been about living the word of God and being faithful to him and living for holiness and living as part of the body of fellow Christians and living as the church and serving and living in a way that is honoring God with our lives, yet you have everything that the world has to offer, that is such a short moment of success versus the spiritual bankruptcy that you're going to find yourself in once you're before his judgment seat. It's real. And so my challenge to you, friends, is be a wise builder with your life. The building material of being faithful to God will look so much different than the building material that the world is building with. So seek the treasure of heaven over the temporary treasure of the fame that this world says is the highest standard of value and success. We build a different life because we've laid a different foundation than the world lays. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team up at all of our campuses. Let me pray. God, I want to lift up our church to you right now, and I just pray, God, that as Paul challenges the church of Corinth, that we will take those words directly to ourselves and realize, God, that in our life, Jesus, we want to build a foundation that is a foundation for eternity. May we remember that right now counts forever. God, and I just pray that there will be a challenge and a conviction in our heart as we continue through this series, to not look at the temporary pleasure of this world as the highest regard, but instead we will see that the faithfulness of your followers living for you, for your name and for your glory, God, is the greatest posture and position we can have in our life. Jesus, we love you. We lift this up to you. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.